David of old
one time said, "It's good that I've been chastened." He said, "Because in that God chastened or chastised me, it brought me to his understanding." I want to read from the book of Isaiah, from the 40th chapter. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Speaking of John the Baptist. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This is prophecy from Isaiah concerning the coming of John. And Calvary and liberty in Christ. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and gather them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So we see that the prophecy here is concerning the coming of John and Calvary. And he's telling us that in the coming of this, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, which means that the great rich shall come down, and the poor shall be raised up, as to the last being first, and the first being last, as to those that have exalted themselves by means of their merchandise. God says that in my sight, they will not count. And those that have been humbled to the extent that they know nothing, have nothing, I will regard the poor, for salvation is sent unto the poor. I shall raise them up. And there shall come an equality as to God looking on mankind without respect to person. That is to say, in the Old Testament, there is a nation as to the Jewish people that have exalted themselves because of their own works. There is a people that is rejected as to the Gentiles who are counted as nothing. But when I come, the priest and the great religious leaders shall have no more in my sight than the heathens, in that I'm going to shed blood for all of them and to take away the sins of the world. And I'm going to lift up them that are considered to be dogs. And I'm going to bring down the lofty priest and the priesthood who feel that they are Lord over my creation. So the valley shall be brought up, and the mountains shall be made low. He said, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Or that is to say, though I might be unbecoming, in that I am an alien from the wealth of Israel, through my ignorance to God, that is before my conversion, but God will do away with the roughness of my life. He will shape in my life, and he will bring me to a groomed place, as one that has been groomed. He will bring me even into the body as a member of the bridegroom. He will bring me to this groomed place, in that he will groom me by his own righteousness and by the works of Calvary, to where there will not be rough and crooked places anymore. That is to say, taking away the sins of the world, you cannot find any more crooked places. As long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, there is a coverage for all men. And all men have grace, at least dispensationally speaking. And those that continue in God will have eternal grace as to righteousness. So then we are partakers of his righteousness, and he hath made the crooked places straight, by standing before God and giving himself as a sacrifice, to where God cannot see the crooked, and God cannot see the wicked, and God can see nothing but the blood. So as it was in Egypt, when the blood was put over the doorpost, then they that lived in that house escaped. Didn't matter who it was, God had told them, there in Egypt, whoever it would be, wherever he would find the blood over the doorpost, that he would bring a protection to them and protect them from the hand of the death angel. So we see the wonderful things of God in that this is a prophecy many, many years before the coming of the Lord. It is a prophecy of the coming of the Lord, that when the Lord come, it would be great, wonderful blessings and glad tidings. And that all flesh would be as grass, and no flesh would glory in his sight. That from then on it would be righteousness by the hand of God. And he said concerning this, he said, the strength of the young men shall fail, and the strength of the youth, he said, shall fail. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord, it doesn't matter whether they're young or whether they're old. If they wait upon the Lord, he said, they will renew their strength. And they will renew their youth like an eagle. They will renew themselves. They will become strong. They will become enduring. They will become everlasting. They will become eternal. If they wait upon the Lord, they will take on a strength that will be a strength to them in this present world, in this life, and then a strength that will exceed or excel this life that will cause them to be eternally strengthened and strong in the world to come. You know, I was thinking today along these lines, God is trying his very best to get me and to get you to take us back to the garden. He's trying to get us back to the garden. He's trying to bring us back to our originality. As to that which God instigated, that which God created in his foreknowledge, that which God made us to be in the garden or in his foreknowledge even before the garden. He's trying to bring us back to our originality. And so then when we fail to honor God, when we fail to conform to Christ, then we miss the opportunity of an everlasting and eternal life, an everlasting joy, an everlasting benefit. We miss this wonderful opportunity. God expects us to conform. He expects us to surrender. He wants us to surrender our lives and then conform to his thoughts. He has a mind he calls the mind of Christ. He has developed and perfected this mind in Jesus during the time that Jesus was here in this world. And he has taken that mind, when he laid that body down to rest, he took that mind to give it to me. And he took that mind to give it to you. And he says to you and I, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. How is it then I can say that being made in the form of God, I would not think it robbery to be equal with God? How could I do that? By the mind of Jesus. Because if the mind of Jesus comes in me, that's the way it thinks. That's the thoughts of the mind of Christ. That mind that was in Jesus, he knew that he was God. He knew that he was God manifested in the flesh, that he was made as the one and only God. He said, who is my equal? Is there anyone that is of an equality to me? Who is my equal? He said, I don't know any. So then he knew that he was God. And that mind that developed in Jesus, it was revealed to him that he was God. He knew that he was God. And then, if I think it not robbery to be equal with God, it would be only because the mind that thought it was not robbery to be equal with God has passed from that body into my heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. His brain is in his head, but his mind is in his heart. So then, if it was that I was to have thoughts of equality as unto God, then it would be the mind of Christ on the inside of me. Paul said, it's not me that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. That is to say, there is a life, there is a mind, there is a power that is of God. There is a life, there is a mind, there is a power that is of Satan or Lucifer. And if I have the mind of Lucifer from my birth, as to be shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin, if I am brought into this world with that mind and with that feeling as an infiltration within my body, because the genes of my father Adam is passed down to me, then I am a reproduction of the image that displeased God. I would be a reproduction of the bastard image. And God would despise my image in the morning at the coming of the light of the Son of God. So is every man, woman that's born into the world. They are bastard children. As to their natural image, they are bastard children. They are in the image of the fallen one. They are in the unbecoming image. Therefore, there is a grooming that must take place. And the bridegroom must do the grooming. While the bride makes herself ready, The bridegroom also makes himself ready. Now the bridegroom hath made himself ready by the works of Calvary. And the grooming is done. And if we be the members of that body, then we so likely groom ourselves. See, that is to say, we save ourselves from this underworld generation. Or we are perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Or we're going on to perfection. We're going on to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. If there is a mind of Christ, a life, a power, then there's a great ability that goes with this mind. And there is a great potentiality that is possessed within the confines of this mind. If then this mind is passed on to me, then the potentiality of this mind is released within me, and I receive of that mind according to the measure of my conformity or my willingness as to submission. So then this mind comes to me, and I submit to this mind, and I conform to this mind, and I delight in this mind because it is a word of truth. And it reveals my imperfections, it reveals my infiltration, it reveals my iniquities, and with this I wholeheartedly, gladly surrender to the power of cleansing that is released from that mind as that which eradicates my impurities to bring me to the perfect image of the Son of God in which I was created before the fall. So back to the originality, back to the garden, back to what I was in the foreknowledge of God before Satan tampered with my mind, as we say. So then that mind is within me as to whatever measure of it I will allow or receive or develop myself into, then this is my heavenly reward. This is my heavenly gift. This is my heavenly treasure. Jesus, as a human body, surrendered his body completely to that mind, which was alive, which was God's Spirit. And so then it is said that the Spirit was made flesh. Or that is to say, the mind was made flesh. Or God, the Word, as to knowledge, was made flesh. Or that is to say, this mind in its fullness come forth and created a human body. It came forth and manifested a human body. A father, as to relation with the mother, produces the mind of the father as to the genes. And so then that life, as to the life of the father, a spirit is made a human body. It is made flesh because whatever the nature is, as to the nature, so is the conformity as to the image. And the Bible said we are partakers of the divine nature of our Heavenly Father. So then I could never conform to anything but the image of the Son of God, which is the original image in which I was made. So then back to the originality, back to the garden. I'm going back to my originality. See, you can say, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shall return. You could say as an individual, as to your natural way of life, you can say, from the dust I am, to the dust I shall return. As it was said, God said, because Adam had failed to stand the task of which he had given him, he said, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shall return. But when Jesus came, he could not say that. He said, from the Spirit I came, and to the Spirit I returned. He said, you are of the world, and you are of the dirt, you're of the dust, and you'll go back to the dust. He said, but I didn't come from the dust. I came from heaven. That is, your genes. Your genes are of the dust. God took a dust particle, and he made that body. And you're of the dust. Though he made that body out of the dust, illuminated it with the wonderful Shekinah of God, protected it to keep it from going back to deterioration or to the dust, he protected it, giving it a chance to choose the tree of life, that the tree of life might make it last forever. He overshadowed it, or that is, he illuminated it. So then with the illumination, Adam had his opportunity, but when he failed, the illumination left. And thus the evening time of life came. So when this happened, Adam found himself with the sentence of death in his members and the voice saying, thou shalt surely die, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. See, but with Jesus, it wasn't that way. He came from the Spirit, and the Spirit was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Spirit. And the Word being the Word of life, the Bible said, in the Word, which was the Spirit, which was God, it was made flesh. And Jesus said, these genetics from the Spirit, and to the Spirit they go back. That is, you can crucify me, you can do what you want to, you can put me in a grave, but the grave can't hold me. My soul can go into the chambers of hell, but I've done no wrong. There's no power that can hold me because I've done no wrong. There's no way that I can see corruption because I haven't done any wrong. So the Bible says that God suffered not His Holy One to see corruption, nor His soul to remain in hell. So Jesus did all of these things for me that I can now be considered not of the dust and to the dust, but rather bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, that I can say, I came from the Spirit, I go back to the Spirit. And death hath no power over me because I've passed from death unto life. And I shall never come into condemnation because there is no condemnation to me in that there's no one that can lay anything to my charge. I am God's elect by foreknowledge. I was in the mind of God before the world ever was. I was in His genes. I was part of Him. And He manifested Himself in this form as a membership. And I passed through the chambers of despair and the ugliness of life, like a little ugly duckling, as the story says. But now I'm hearing the cry from heaven. And I'm recognizing that I'm not numbered with these that are under corruption and death. I am numbered with them, for I am one of His holy ones. And the Bible said He suffered not His Holy One to see corruption, nor His soul to remain in hell. So then from the Spirit I came as John, a man sent from God. To the Spirit I go. He that is born of flesh is flesh, but he that is born of Spirit, Jesus said, is Spirit. I was born of the Spirit, so then I'm Spirit. From the Spirit I came, to the Spirit I returned. Back to originality, back to the garden, going back. For in His presence is the fullness of joy. And His path is the path of life. And at His right hand is everlasting pleasures. So then the heavenly treasures, the riches that God has given me through Christ, I wholeheartedly accept. For the Bible said, He hath given me all things that pertain unto life. No matter what it is, wealth, health, whatever it is, He's given it to me. And He said, all things are mine, and I belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. So then I thank God for all things. The Bible teaches that infirmities, problems, all these depressions, oppressions, poverty, whatever it might be, they come upon you because of one thing, and that is because you serve not the Lord thy God with a joyful heart, giving Him thanks for the abundance of all things. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If I joyfully believe that all things are mine, whether health, blessings, whatever it might be, then all things come to me because of faith in God. And therefore, I do not have to contend with the problems and infirmities of life because my faith is literally overflowing as a shield against all the fire darts of Lucifer. My heart is purified by Christ. My health is strong. My strength is sure. My days are enduring. My life is everlasting. See, because faith has done that. Faith hath done that. That's why I preached to you the other night. When we do the things that please God, hereby we assure our hearts, knowing then that we are trying to please God, we take on a confidence that He is our friend. And truly, He is our friend. He even calling Judas friend when Judas done him such an injustice. So then we can see that we are children of God by the righteousness of Jesus. So what I read to you tells you that the crooked is made straight. The low places have been brought up. The high places have been brought down. There's come an equality, not only an equality in the earth, but there has come an equality with God. For God says, who then is my equality? Who is equal with me? Then I answer back, who then is equal with Him? I say, O Lord, this mind is in me, who being made in the form of God, think it not robbery to be equal with God. Let's give Him a hand. So then, who is my equal? There is none that is the equal of God. You would say, but Brother Pike, you say that we are equal with God. Jesus said he was equal with God. I say there is none equal with God. Your equality, as you stated, is because you are God. That is the only reason. You're a bone of his bone, and you are flesh of his flesh, and you alone dwell within the light. Because he hath chosen you, he hath manifested himself in you, and as the Father hath begot a Son, so the Son is of his own blood. Many times you hear people say, this is my own flesh and blood. See, I am God's own flesh and blood. So then that makes me and my Father one, not by my righteousness, but by his righteousness. Jesus said, me and my Father are one. So then me and my Father are one, because my unbecomingness is gone, and my image is buried and gone that displeased him. And now I'm now in the image of the Lord. And I don't know what he'll look like as to my natural thinking, but I know that when he appears, as to the Thessalonian change, I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is, because I shall be like him. So then, don't it make you feel good to know that he hath commanded us unto a perfection, and that perfection he hath wrought within himself, saying that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and that this mind should be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, as to what thoughts of a mind, the thoughts that being made in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Though he didn't try to make himself a career, reputation, he took on the form of a servant, was made in the image of the fallen ones, and humbled his heart as to service to wash his fellow man's feet. And this was the secret, as to overcome the infiltration that is taken into captivity, the image that belonged to God. Doing this, we abase, we kill out that infiltration as to the wrong mind, and then the right mind changes us from glory to glory, into the bone and into the blood, into the image of the Son of God, which was the Almighty God in the earth. For the Bible said he was in the earth. The world was made by him. They didn't recognize that he was God. Let's give God another hand. But it does tell us that to as many as believed, as to what he said, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe on his name. So him being the word unchanged, unaltered to a thousand generations, then to believe the word, faith by hearing of the word, to hear what it says, to believe what it says, is to reap the benefit of what it has said, because that is faith. Let's stand together. I trust that from time to time, as we say these things, that it will enlarge your life, your world, because as you're thinking, so is your world, for your world is thought, and it can reach from everlasting to everlasting. Can you sing it with me?
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room. And although many have come, there is still room for one, for there is room at the cross for you. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I rest at your feet, oh sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest that may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing that with me? For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I'm longing for my Savior to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home in the sky, up there where angels shall sing. For we'll all need for Jesus to come back. Can we long for Jesus Christ our friend, who will come to that home up in the sky, up there where angels shall sing. Sing it again. For we'll all need for Jesus to come back. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, our friend, who will come and take us to our home up in the sky, up there where angels shall sing. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Give me that old-time. All that's good enough makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old-time religion, 'cause it's good enough for me. It will take us
all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven, 'cause it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, 'cause it's good enough. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, 'cause it's... Can you sing that with me? Oh, want the old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, 'cause it's good. It was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my brother and my sister. It was good for my dear Savior, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, for it's good. One more time. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough. Just one more time. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, for it's good for me. You love the Lord? Can we sing just one or two more choruses? Gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death triumphant. Gone, sin defeated. Gone, and he lives forevermore. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb, it's empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone. Can you sing that with me? For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb, it's empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone. Sing it one more time. For Jesus is gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb's empty. Gone, set at my Father's side. For he's gone, gone. And he lives forevermore. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Is Christ in your heart? Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it one more time like you really mean it. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. The light is beginning to shine all over the world. They sing that song, all over the world, all over the world. It's beginning to shine all over the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, the Bible said, he shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. The Bible says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. The Bible said they'll tread on serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They'll speak with other tongues, the Bible says. So these signs, they come to follow us. We're not to follow them. The Bible said a sinful and an adulterous generation would see these signs, and they would seek after these signs, considering this to be a consolation toward their soul welfare, in that someone has a gift and they get close to those things. But as I said, what God wants is for this mind of Christ to be in you. Even the mind of faith that causes the signs to be produced and reproduced in your life. It's wonderful to see you here as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to see you as my children in God. Because many of you are my children in God. Someone would say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, it's like I see my little Joe sitting out there. He always warms my heart, little Joe. Because I love little Joe. He plays around down the house. I always get a thrill when I sing little Joe. See, like little Joe, he belongs to me through Joseph. And little Joe's children will belong to me. And on. So you are my children. All that you find out in the world, all that you bring in, will be my children through you. And children through them. And children through those. And you are my children eternally. Paul said, I have begotten you as a father in the gospel. Though we have but one heavenly father, yet we have fathers in the gospel. And you are my children. Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors, you have but one father. For I have begotten you in the gospel. And many of you have begotten in the gospel. Paul, in preaching the gospel, said, I seek to name Christ to people where he has never been named. But I don't build upon another man's foundation. And by doing this, he begat many children that would be his own children. The Lord said, ask of me the heathens, and I will give them to you for an inheritance. That is, they can become your children. And I've asked of God the heathens, and he hath given them to me for mine inheritances, and is about to give me even more of them as we go into the fields of adventure for Christ. So, these are my children, some over 10 cities, some over many cities. They're children. Some of you that follow can sit upon thrones. You can rule, plenty of room. God hath made us, Jesus by his works hath made us unto our God priests and kings, and we shall rule and reign with him forever. So, you're my children. You have natural children in this world, and they're your children until death. Either that you die or they die, and that's the end of your children. When they're resurrected on the other side, they will not then be your children. That will be a man and a woman who grew up to answer to God for their rights or wrongs. But when you have a father in the gospel, then they are children throughout eternity. It is a God family to where that you belong to that individual throughout eternity. And he belongs to the Heavenly Father, or he belongs to that that is his Father, as to the Heavenly Father. And this is the way the family of God is made up. So naturally, when I go off, I'm concerned about you. Jesus was so concerned about his little ones, especially. When you leave home, if you've got little ones, you're really concerned about them. You're not as concerned about the older ones. The Bible teaches that God will leave the 99 that's saved in the fold to go look for the stray. You're not as concerned about them as you are the wayward child or the little ones, because you're afraid the little ones will get hurt. And the last thing that Jesus conferenced with them about before his departure was, if you love me, said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. If you love me, said, feed my lambs. The song that we wrote, who's gonna feed my lambs while I'm away? Let's just lift our hands up together. Can we do that? I wonder tonight, I see even my little ones here, my little girls and boys as they come around the altar. They're my little lambs because they know about Jesus. And they're little in their body also, and they need oversight both as a natural person and as a spiritual person. But I see others that are grown up in body, but they're just little lambs. In their spirit, they're just little lambs. Just little lambs. And I wonder how many of you are parents. When I was a child, Paul said, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And whereas he said, when we ought to be teachers, we have need that we be taught, which is the beginning of the principles of the oracles of Christ. Come to the place to where we speak as Christ. So how many of you are watching after the lambs while I'm away? How many of you are trying to help them and strengthen them in the doctrine of Christ and the Word of God and in the correlation of a brotherhood, as to believe the message and not to follow somebody else but to follow Christ and to follow the shepherd as sheep or as leaders? Jesus said, if you gather not with me, then you scatter abroad. And Paul said, even after his decease, there would be some among the brethren that would rise up to lead men astray after themselves. See, this is evil. The true church, there is no such thing. All are one body. Peter, James, Paul. All of the others were all one body that ministered to one people and came for one cause and was in one mind on the day of Pentecost and one will as to do the Father's thing in the earth and to do whatever, as Jesus said, to be about the Father's business. If you got any other motives, any other plans, and brethren, we just have to acknowledge that they're not of God, that it is personal ambition, that it's not of God, and there'll be no reward for it, but rather there'll be a fearful looking forward to of the judgment that shall devour them that did not gather with him. So as I stand here thinking these things over, let's consider, pray for me and pray for Sister Betty. Probably see you again Friday night. Some of you may be before Friday night in our fellowship. But pray for us. Ask God to help us. And we're continually praying for you. Ask God to create a real mind to work for God and to do something for God. And make everything in your life secondary. Don't let anybody pervert your minds. The Bible said, and don't let them spoil you with some philosophy of man as to the deceit and rudiments after the things of the world. But stay in the simplicity of faith in the Word of God, having God's Spirit within you and being rooted and grounded in the truth. And the Lord will provide for you. He'll protect you from every wind of doctrine. And don't give place to Satan to reign in your body as sin, not even for a moment. Shun the very appearance of evil. Keep yourselves from the ungodly generation of this world. But ask Brother Tony to come up and close in prayer. And while Tony's coming to pray, remember me, my wife, my children. Remember my natural children. Remember my spiritual children.